she was coming back.
The mom.
The mother was coming back. And John had asked me to have sex with him, and
what?
I told him
Wait
no.
A minute. Back it up. I'm sorry. I did go too fast. He had asked you to have sex with him?
Yes.
This is the plaintiff, Rachel Bansomer. She says the defendant, her former roommate, asked her to have sex with him. She declined, and that's when all the trouble started. The guy moved 15 people into the apartment, including his mentally ill mother, and things got so bad she moved out. The defendant gave her a check for her security, but it bounced. That's why she's suing him here and now for every penny of the $750 she's owed. This is the defendant, John. He says the plaintiff lives a very promiscuous lifestyle. She's eccentric and very sexual. The girl had different men in the apartment every night, and people started to think he was her pimp, for God's sake. Bottom line, the plaintiff stole his iPad when things got bad between them. He filed a report with the cops and owes that girl nothing. He's accused of getting turned down and withholding money.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay, Ms. Bansomer, you are suing Jean.
Yes.
You've asked to be referred to only by your first name for $750, your former landlord, for a security deposit that you believe he is wrongfully withholding from you.
Yes.
Tell me what's going on.
In 2012, I decided to move to New York City, so I was looking on Craigslist for
an
apartment.
Where did you come from?
Florida.
Where in Florida?
Clearwater and Miami.
Okay. Go ahead. Why would you do this?
Classically trained dancer trying to pursue her career as a dancer.
Okay.
I found on Craigslist Jean's or John's apartment bedroom for rent. Upon moving in about a month or so, I gave him $750 for my deposit and $750 for the first month's rent.
You lived there for several years without incident?
I lived there for 2.5 with multiple incidences, just allowed them to be because it was a big size bedroom for $750.
Okay, so you were renting the bedroom?
Yes.
Okay, and who else was living there besides you and him?
There were multiple roommates throughout the two and a half
right,
years that I lived there.
Right, but at a time, how many people were living there?
There was two other people, not including me and John, so four.
Okay, did you have a lease?
No, it was a non, it was a
yes
written.
Yes or no, did you have a written lease?
Yeah, it was sort of an agreement.
It was an agreement that what?
That we both sort of like agree that if you live here, you live by these rules and then within 30 days.
Okay, what about how long she got to live there in that piece of paper?
She could leave whenever she would like.
Okay, and you could toss her out with how much notice?
Well, within 30 days.
Okay, all right, so go ahead.
So upon living there, a few of the incidences that happened was an older drunk guy who was only going to live there for 2 weeks in our living room, ended up extending his stay for a few months.
And he eventually what?
I eventually got a hold of the actual owner of the building to help me get him out of the apartment.
Okay.
There was one incident that there was only supposed to be four girls living in our living room for a dance exchange. It was only supposed to be four of them for a week. There ended up being a total of 15 of us living in the apartment.
I'm sorry, where was everybody staying? Like cats? Like where was everybody staying?
There was, all of us were individually in our roommates, the four of us.
They were dancers?
They were dancers.
I don't understand, who let them in?
John did. I only agreed to four of them living in the living room for the week for their dance event, and there was some type of incident that happened. And all of a sudden, there's 11 to 12 of them.
Who were these people?
So basically, my friend has a dance company in Sweden, and she had set up for them to come to New York to study dance, and everything failed, so she had nowhere else to put her friends. So she asked me for help, so, you know, I didn't want to put them in the street.
Okay, for how long?
It was for about a week
until the show. They couldn't get a hotel? You know, that is another option.
I know, well... Okay. I tried my best. They tried their best, but because they were under like the school.
Because you have a room, you can do whatever you want. If you want to have 400, well, no, actually, you can't. But you know, she does have a right to have like some peace there.
But the school was like for kids who are like, you know, in the
city. I don't care if it's a school for children who have saved people's lives. It doesn't matter how wonderful the children are. Okay. It matters that she's entitled to the peaceful enjoyment of the place she's renting. In any event, what else happened that made your skin crawl?
The other one was his mentally ill mother was living with us.
Okay. How was she mentally ill?
All I know is that she just was unstable. All she did would babble. She lived in the living room for quite some time.
What's quite some time?
I want to say it was multiple times she came in and out. Once she went back into the hospital, and then she came back.
All right. So what was the final straw that made you want to move out?
The final straw was she was coming back.
The mom.
The mother was coming back. And John had asked me to have sex with him, and
what?
I told him
Wait
no.
Back it up. I'm sorry. I did go too fast. He had asked you to have sex with him?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell me about that?
He had asked me to have sex with him, and I told him no. From there, things started to slightly escalate. I didn't realize anybody was home and was wearing clothing, just not a lot of clothing. And I was in the kitchen.
Meaning what?
I was wearing a pair of underwear and a bra.
But you have roommates. Why would you do that?
Most of the time they're not home.
Well, apparently you were wrong. He was home.
Yes, apparently I was wrong.
Okay, what time of the day or night was this?
It was in the afternoon.
Oh, maybe you should be prancing around. Okay, so what happened?
He just came up to me, asked me to have sex, followed me close towards my bedroom, and I told him no and shut the door. From there, I just felt really unsafe. And
I know you feel safer if you had some clothes on.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for
right?
Sure.
Okay. But did he say or do anything else other than what you just said to make you feel unsafe?
That was it, except for the construction
that happened.
Yeah, it
gets awkward when you're prancing around in your underwear and your bra,
get that.
Right, but so you just, that's it, you weirded out, and you know, you felt strange and you didn't want to be there.
Absolutely.
No problem. Then what happens? You move out, you're giving him notice, you move out, and he hands you a check. And the check is for
$750.
So then what happens? He hands you the check, and then when you go to deposit it, you find out he's put a stop payment.
It was canceled.
Meaning he put a stop payment?
Yes.
Okay. So do you call him and say there must be some mistake?
No. He had contacted me at 5 a.m. on November 9th saying that there was damages that were not true.
Okay. Let's talk about the damage. Why is it you're keeping her security deposit?
I didn't keep it. I gave her a $750 check and then that was
it. Yeah, but she says you stopped payment on it.
I didn't stop anything.
Okay. Can you show me the stop payment on the check?
Absolutely.
Was it a stop payment or did it bounce?
It's a stopped payment.
What the heck?
Because I went to his bank to cash it, because it was closer, because I have a Wells Fargo account.
Do you have evidence that he stopped payment on it? That's what I just asked you
for. It's stamped on the back that I went to go and cash it, and it was denied.
Endorsement canceled.
I didn't stop the check.
Good. So then you agree that you owe her $750.
Nope. That's not what happened. I wrote her a check.
Right.
And then after that, the following day, that same night, she calls me and she said, oh, I lost the check. So then after that, I was like, okay, well, I don't know what else to do. Just give me some time. And then the following day, she returned back into my house and stole my stuff. So that's
What'd she steal?
She stole my iPad. So I went to the police and told the police what was really happening in the house.
What was really happening in that?
Yes. So basically, I'm going to tell my side, I've had her for quite some time. And when she came in, she was very promiscuous, and I didn't have a problem with her lifestyle. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by promiscuous?
She would have lots of men in the house.
What do you define as lots of men?
Every time I come in, there's a new guy in my house, and she, obviously she was sleeping with them or whatever. But that wasn't the issue. You know, I mean, you are what you are. I'm not going to judge you. But some of the roommates, we were sort of like kind of surprised. Like every time we come in, there's a new guy in the house.
It so it sounds like you're judging her, but go ahead. You have a right to. I mean, that's where you're living. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I brought her to her attention, and then...
What'd you say?
I was like, you know, there were rumors in the neighborhood that I was like a pimp or something. I actually had a child come to me and ask me if I was a pimp. So I told her, listen, you know what? My mom's coming in the house. I know, you know, you're such a free spirit person. Just kind of like curve things around until I sort of figure out what my mom...
Meaning?
You know, well, not bring a lot of guys into the house.
Did you say that?
Yeah, basically.
Like, what'd
you
know, she say?
And she's like, oh yeah, you know, everything's going to be fine. I know I will take care. So we had this sort of good understanding. So anyway, things didn't go the way I thought it would. She continued to bring men in the house. Her and my mother wasn't getting along, and I was like, listen, you know, try your best until I figure things out. While I was at work, I get a phone call, and it's the police. So my mom said, the police is in the house. So I ran to the house. I get there. Rachel's sitting at the porch crying. Oh, don't kick me out. If you want to kick me out, I'll understand. I was like, Rachel,
What happened?
I don't know. So I had to run inside.
Well, you do know. You're just not telling me. What happened? So, get to the point.
Welcome back to the People's Court, Harvey Levin here. So if somebody says, oh, well, how'd you like to have sex, and you're living in that person's place and they have the lease, does that give you the right automatically to move out? What do you think?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't want to do that.
Well, you don't have to necessarily do it, but is it, you know, all they did was ask. They didn't, like, force you to do anything.
I would say no. You don't have to.
You can say no.
You can say no, but I don't need to move out, but I don't want any either.
Okay, I got you. I got you. What do you say?
It definitely depends on the manner in which it was asked.
Well, just ask, do you wanna?
Yeah, I think that's definitely grounds to leave the lease for sure.
Grounds to leave? Wow. Getting turned down hard. Going inside the courtroom.
What the police told me is that apparently she, on her way home one night, she took a random stranger from, brought her home to the house. And when she woke up the next day, the stranger, whoever she brought, stole her stuff. And she had to call the police.
So, okay, what had happened that the police were called?
I had a friend come stay with me for a night that didn't have a place to stay. And he slept on my bed. I slept on my bedroom, on my floor of my bedroom. And the next morning, he stole my iPad. He's now in jail for that.
Your iPad?
No, I'm sorry. My MacBook Air 11-inch.
It's interesting that you made that slip, because your accusation is that she stole your iPad.
Yes, she did.
Tell me about the time when she's in her underwear and something happens.
She's always in her underwear. She always walks around basically nude. So that night she just...
No, decided. I'm asking you about, did you come on to your tenant?
No, I did not come on to my tenant.
No?
Nope, I did not come on to
her. Show me
your
the
Honor,
text.
I have text messages from him apologizing for that. I also have the messages too on November 8th. He said that it was the day after that I came back. According to his messages, it would have been actually that night that I would have come back.
Here's you. Fine. I was out of line the other day. I saw you naked. I was horny. I asked you to have a sex. I'm a man. I apologized. She answers, you have to respect me, so stay away from me for now. If you are wondering why I'm leaving, this just topped everything off.
Let me explain.
Oh, so- yeah.
Like I said, she was a very promiscuous girl.
Yeah, apparently she'll have anybody but you.
She was, we've had...
According to you.
We had several conversations about this, and I
thought you said you didn't come on to her. I just read a text where you clearly... I mean, this is important to me because I have to judge your credibility on stuff,
of
you
course.
Know? So, let me ask you a question. When you... Go ahead. Yeah, I do want to hear.
So basically, the only reason that came up is that... It was, she did come onto me, and I felt
she came onto you.
Yeah, but I don't have any
You proof. Didn't come onto her.
No. And
that's
I felt,
why the next day you're telling her that you're out of line, that you saw her naked, you were horny and that you asked her to have sex with you.
Okay, she was into BDSM.
You didn't know she had these texts, right?
She was into BDSM. She made several attempts on me, and I felt like the only reason why I said
so you didn't know she kept the texts, right? You didn't know she had these texts around.
I'm glad she kept the texts. I know the relationship.
Because you just lied to me and told me that you never came on to her, and then look at this. Right? That kind of makes you look like a liar.
Okay.
All right, so let's discuss the $750.
After she left and after I gave her the check, she called me back. She told me, oh, she lost a check. And I was like, wait a minute, this is crazy because, you know, her behavior. I'm like, I give you a check, Rachel. This is no way the check couldn't happen. So the following day, that's when she came back into the house and then she had the key. So then she stole the iPad. So that's when I went to the police. I told the police the whole story. And then next thing you know, the following day, she returned the iPad.
Okay, so in any event, you have the iPad. So why are you keeping the $750?
So after the police, after she returned the iPad, I didn't hear from her for like 9 months, like 8 months. Then I get an email from her. She basically told me, give her $500 or else she's going to take me to court. So I was like, well, you left my house, you destroyed my house, you stole...
Do you have any pictures of the destruction?
No, Your Honor, I didn't bring
any. How are you
going
to prove any of the stuff you're saying? How do you figure that you're going to get out of making good on the check that the bank says you put a stop payment on?
Because I didn't stop the check. Okay. That same night, I didn't.
You need to press the off button.
Okay.
You lose.
Okay.
You just owe the money, plain and simple. Yep. $750, verdict for the plaintiff, plus your court costs.
This is crazy. I didn't.
Okay, right here.
This is crazy.
What's going through your mind right here?
I'm going to call Chase Bank and I'm going to find out what happened to the check because I never cancel any check. Mm-hmm. I wrote her a check that day and that was it. I didn't hear anything from her. 9 months later, she came into the house, stole the stuff, and then I called the police. The police said they will speak to her, and that's when she returned my stuff.
Listen, you looked embarrassed when the judge was reading those texts out in the courtroom.
Yeah, because I'm to be honest, I'm so shocked. Like, you don't understand. This girl was, like, the amount of...
She was provocative toward you, you said.
And we
but you didn't bring any evidence of anything.
Yeah, I didn't feel I needed it.
But, okay.
But I need to find out what happened to the bank. Cause this is
all right. He looks a little shocked. What's your reaction to this?
It's nice to have hard evidence. Because evidence you can't fuddle with.
Looking back, don't you see your actions in the kitchen there as could be interpreted as provocative by somebody?
Absolutely. That's why I don't do it anymore.
All right. Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, the defendant here is lucky because in some states, if you write a check with the intention, knowing at the time that you're going to stop payment on it, you could be responsible for two, and in some states, three times the face value of the check. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is a plaintiff, Adrienne Hood. She says her boyfriend took her car for a routine oil change, and when he picked it up, the car shut off about an hour later. Turns out the defendant forgot to put an oil filter in the car, and because of that, the engine's now ruined. The defendant is refusing to deal with this issue or take responsibility for his mistake, and she has no other choice but to take him to court, seeking the $2,952.41 she's owed. This is the defendant, Dennis Singh. He says it's impossible to have forgotten to put an oil filter in the plaintiff's car. Because if he had, oil would have been leaking out of the car immediately and it wouldn't have made it a block. Besides, the car's a 1998 with 250,000 miles on it, and the engine seized due to no fault of his. He's accused of trying to be slick.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff's boyfriend took her car for an oil change, says the oil filter was not put in. An hour later, the car seized. But the defendant says, impossible. It's the case of oils not well.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay, Ms. Hood, you Hi. Are suing First Street Car Wash and Quick Lube, represented here by Dennis Singh. You're the owner?
Yes.
Okay. For $2,952.41, $2,500 in repairs to your engine that you say was their fault, and $225 in parking tickets. Okay. Talk to me and tell me what's going on.
Okay. So
plus another 227 in transportation. Okay.
Yes. So on September 25th, 2015, my boyfriend took my car to get service at the oil change at the oil loop center.
He took it in to get an oil change? Come
yes.
on up, step up, please.
He took it to get an oil change.
At your place? You do oil changes as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so when he got the oil change, they're fixing it. It took a little bit longer than normal. I've been there before. We've done it. They've done it
You've
before.
You've done the oil change
yeah.
there before?
So what happened was I asked a guy who was doing the oil change on the car, was everything okay? He said, yeah. He said, you're ready now. So I noticed that his attendant who was working on the car was like, you know, just sitting like directly in front of me, but he's watching me as I leave the oil change, which was kind of weird. I just thought like, you know.
What was he doing?
He was just staring. Just sitting in a chair, just staring.
What did that tell you? Like what?
It seemed to me because for one, it took a little time for it to get fixed. And then for two, now you're looking at me, I guess, trying to monitor the car, you know, not for say like looking.
I mean, if I did something wrong to your car, the last thing I do is stare at you so that you remember me. I mean,
yeah, I mean, but as I'm reversing out of the oil loop place and he's just looking. So I leave, I'm on my way to, you know, go get a phone because I don't have a cell phone at the time. So on my way to go do that, I pick up her niece. And I had the dog with me. So it's all three of us now. So I'm on the highway now and I'm driving down the road. So
how long were you driving?
Probably about, like 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, and then what?
Then after that, the light on the car pops up.
What light?
It was an oil drippage light. So that shows on the gauge. So I'm seeing that and I'm like, what is that? So I'm like, okay, I gotta get off or whatever the case may be on the highway.
How long had you been driving from the mall to when you realized there was a problem? Like did it take 5 minutes for there to be a problem or did it take an hour? Did it take half an hour?
No. It only took about like 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
So as I'm in the car, I'm trying to get off from the highway, but I have to get all the way over to the exit to get off.
Okay.
So I got to the right and then all of a sudden the car just shut down on me, just seized. Everything just stopped.
Were you able to make it to the shoulder before that?
Out
of the exit?
Yeah, so what happened was when it seized on me, I started up again. And when it started, it just like...
Okay.
And then from there, I had to get out the car, had to push the car to a safe parking space where I won't get tickets or anything like that.
Was it a meter?
No, it was no meter or anything. Okay. It was just a legal space.
So why are you suing for parking tickets? I thought that it was disabled in a place and that's
yes.
why you're...
So the tickets came within the month of November
right,
when it's parked at my residence at where I live,
where
I used to live.
You
so,
parked it in a place where it was getting tickets.
I thought
he parked it in a place.
I towed it to where I live.
Right, because it wasn't working. Well,
so
why don't you not park it in a place where it can't be?
Because
that would be an option.
I didn't have an available lot to leave my car.
All right, so now, who takes it to a mechanic, and when?
Someone came to look at my car initially.
Who?
A friend of mine who was a mechanic. He's not present today. He came.
You didn't bring the mechanic?
No, he couldn't make it today.
Did you bring an affidavit from a certified mechanic?
No, but I do have estimates of people who came to look at the car as well.
Let me see what you do have.
Okay.
What do you think is their fault?
Okay.
And so why do you think it? Go ahead.
I think it's their fault because the person who did the oil change did not properly put on the oil filter in the holding, which caused the oil to leak from out of the car. There you go. And jammed and caused the engine to jam.
Okay, now stop right there.
Okay.
If that's true, they owe you an engine. Now, I would like to understand, though, what proof you have of the statement you just made. That's what I need. I need you to prove it. In other words, you're in court. You can't just say, this is what they did, and so they owe me an engine, or they owe me the total
okay,
loss value of my car.
Okay, what proof do I have as
right.
far
what
as...
What proof do you have?
As far as what?
The statement you made, that they didn't put back the oil. That's why my engine...
Oh, I have pictures. I have pictures.
Okay. And the pictures are going to show me what?
Okay, the pictures are going to show you that there's no oil filter present 2 days later.
Okay.
These pictures were taken on the Sunday when I got back to my car. When I was able to get back and look at my car, I called someone over to come look at my car who was a mechanic. He came over, he looked at my car, and this is what he noticed. He noticed there was no filter present in the holding. I have the receipt here saying that the oil filter was replaced. It says it clear as day here, oil filter replaced. I have the pictures here showing that there is no oil filter in place.
Okay,
now,
let me hear from you. Stop talking a second. Let me hear from you.
Thank you, Your Honor, for hearing our case. We are an oil change and a car wash. When a customer comes in for an oil change, we drain the oil, put a fresh filter, fill fresh oil, and we do a leak check on the car. We start the car, let it run for a minute or two, make sure there's no leaks on the car, check the oil level, and the customer pays and leaves. If there was no oil filter present, they wouldn't even be able to drive down the block.
Tell me about that. What happens if you don't have an oil filter present?
If you don't have an oil filter, as soon as you start the car, oil circulates in the engine. Now, if there was no filter, it would squirt right out of the side of the car. All the oil would come out within a matter of 30 to 45 seconds.
And what would happen to my car?
The engine would seize.
How fast would the engine seize?
Within 30 to 45 seconds.
So if the oil filter isn't in, how long does it take for the car to seize?
Usually more than 45 minutes. It depends how many miles they've been traveling.
What do you think? I mean, just roughly, an hour, a minute?
Could be about 30 minutes.
30 minutes. What do you say?
I have no idea.
Okay, what do you say? Oh, God, you're so proving the stereotype. You should just guess and lie.
I say about less than about 2 minutes.
Okay, we got to get a woman just pretending at least that they know.
I know.
Okay.
Probably about 20 minutes, if that. Depending on how fast you're driving.
She's saying it with authority, you see? She redeemed you.
Yeah.
She redeemed you going inside the courtroom.
She claims that when she came back from vacation and came to
her car,
that the first thing her friend pointed out is that there's no oil filter in there. So first of all, let me show you these pictures and tell me if you have any comment on them.
I don't doubt there's no oil filter in these pictures, but we don't know what happened after the car left.
Sure.
And when the car left, the oil filter was on and it was tight. If it wasn't tight, if there was an oil filter, all the oil would have leaked out. If the oil filter wasn't tight, oil would have leaked immediately.
How do you know it was tight? If you weren't present.
How do you know it wasn't? If you weren't present. And how does it? He's described a situation where he was driving on the highway, able to drive. It's true. I know that it's true because you're not my first rodeo. That if the oil filter's not there,
no.
The oil is going to leak.
I'm not saying that it wasn't
there. I haven't finished my sentence.
Okay.
I know we've known each other our whole lives. And you know what I'm thinking without me saying it. But please allow me to finish my sentence. It would leak. Would it smoke or no smoke?
It was smoke. There definitely was smoke when the engine seized.
I'm not sure.
Would it smoke or no? First of all, you never described smoke. I was very careful to ask you everything that you saw in the car. Would it smoke or would it not smoke? Or does it depend?
It depends on the vehicle, because certain cars, the oil may leak on a pipe and cause it to smoke. Certain cars, it may not. I'm not sure in this case.
Okay. So now there was smoke, which has never been said before. The person who did this oil change, is this what they do all day?
Every day, all day.
How long has that person been working for you?
6 years. And this is the first case we've had like this.
Is this a person who was staring him down? And
I think so.
Okay.
Actually, the reason why he was staring him down is because when a customer leaves, they have to drive their car out themselves. And we don't want them hitting anything, which we've had happen before.
Oh.
We've had people drive into walls and poles and cars and people. So.
Right. The problem that I'm having is you've walked into court, Ms. Hood, with no one but the guy who doesn't want to get in trouble because on his watch your car broke down. So what I'm asking you is, do you have proof by a mechanic saying that they caused this problem?
I did. I had a mechanic, like I said, but he was unable to make it today.
What I want to know is, do you have any evidence? That's all I want to know.
I do.
That's what I deal with.
I have my Valvoline receipt from my oil change before I took it to get service at his business. I have the receipts here from Valvoline.
Meaning how long ago?
Back in July.
And when did you go to him?
In September.
Okay.
So.
Okay, but how does that prove that they did something wrong?
Because when I took it to them, after the oil change, instantly the car engine seizes. There's no engine filter present.
I have
present,
to tell you,
like
he could never listen to me.
Here.
He can't drive that far. So either,
I'm sorry, but
he's not telling you the truth or you're both not telling me the truth, because you can't drive even the amounts he talked about with oil having leaked all the way through the thing. You know, it's a screw. You understand what a screw is. You
no,
don't go
I totally
around once.
Understand.
You go around over and over and over and over. Screws in, right? So what you're describing to me is a very difficult thing for me to look at under these circumstances without one expert on that side testifying to anything. Even though you said you were going to bring an expert today, we're done. You did not prove your case, and I rule in favor of the defendant.
Impossible for the judge to rule in your favor in the absence of any evidence on your part. So step in a little closer and tell me what's your reaction to this.
Well, I mean, if the mechanic could have showed up, that would have made things way better. But I know I had my car working before I took it to that place, and now I'm out of a car.
All right. So, I mean, how could a guy who changes oil all day long forget a filter? Like,
not forget and properly put it on. That can happen because we're not machines, we're humans. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that can happen.
All you had to do was go to the next guy, the next mechanic, and have him sign an affidavit saying the filter was wrong.
If only I knew that's what I should have done, I would have done it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Too bad. Step in here. What happened?
We did what we were asked to do. Her car was old.
And what do you suspect happened after that?
I suspect the car just broke down on its own, being so old. It was a 20-year-old car with 250,000 miles. I'm not sure how well it was maintained. It was just a coincidence that after she came to us, it stopped working, but we did the job properly.
All right, Harvey?
Okay, the key to this case, short and sweet, you need expert testimony when you're talking about things above your pay grade. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Priscilla Thomas. She says she loaned the defendant money to put a patent on some kind of tire invention of his. And the guy's been giving her the runaround ever since. She's fed up with trying to chase him down for her money. And that's why she's suing him today in court for the $900 she's owed. This is the defendant, Daniel Towns. He says the plaintiff was very flirty with him, and he feels if he had reciprocated, she wouldn't have turned so nasty regarding this open-ended loan she gave him. There was no timeline on when he had to pay her back, and she told him not to worry about it until he had the money. He doesn't have it yet. She can't change the terms because he rejected her sexually, and that's why he doesn't owe her. He's accused of letting a lady down.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff loaned the defendant money to get a patent on a tire invention, got stiffed, but the defendant says the loan was open-ended. It's the case of I'm sick and tired.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Priscilla Thomas, you're suing Daniel Towns for $900, $500 that you loaned him, $300 in interest, and $100 in late fees. What's going on?
Well, Daniel's aunt Vivian had called me on October the 30th, and she was telling me about his invention and how he needed $500 in order to show ODOT's and Walmart's the layout that he wanted.
What was your invention?
I have tires that don't go flat.
You invented tires that don't go flat?
Yes, I did. They won't blow out, they won't go flat.
And no one wants to buy them, though?
A whole lot of people want to buy them.
So according to her, she loaned you $500 for you to get the patents?
To take care of some court costs, legal fees.
Okay. Is that correct?
I didn't know it was legal fees. He presented to myself and his aunt Vivian that he had to do some paperwork to show them as far as ODOT and Walmart's his layout.
Okay. What are the court costs that you say you used it for?
Refiling, revisions of my patents, you know, just different things you want to have in place.
Okay. So you loan him the money, and what are the terms?
The terms were for him to, I lent him $500. He said that he'd pay me $800 back. After that, he's supposed to pay me by November the 13th.
Was everything in writing?
Yes, I have.
May I see it?
Sure.
So he's supposed to pay by November the 13th, and what happens on November the 13th?
I never got my money, and that's why we're here.
What did he say when you called him?
I called him, and he never answered my call.
Did you ever talk to his aunt?
I did, and she also called him, and she talked with him. And
okay, I, Daniel Towns, will, on the date of November 13th, repay Ms. Priscilla Thomas in the amount of $800. Okay, so what happened? Yeah. If everybody wants your tires, why can't you pay the lady back?
Well, they're still in the process of being developed as far as getting the necessary paperwork together.
Then just why can't you pay the lady back?
Yeah. I told her. I texted her multiple times, and I told her, I said, I don't have it right now, but not once did I say, I'm never going to pay you back. I told her multiple times. Each time she texted
me. I'm sorry,
me.
What's she supposed to do with your text? Go to the bank and deposit them and make payments against them?
No. I was giving her just calls, or I was giving her a totally good understanding on what was going on.
A good understanding that you're a deadbeat and you weren't going to pay her back?
I would say.
What was a good understanding of?
I would say I'm a deadbeat.
I'm sorry, what is your defense? You're supposed to pay her back November 13th, and your defense is what?
That I didn't have it at the time, and could she wait? And she said yes. And I have that in my text messages.
Let me see it. And so when she says that to you, you make her wait how long? Because you don't pay her the next day or the next day or the next day or the next day. You just completely didn't pay her.
No, and I also told her I would take care of any incurring expenses and whatever extra she wanted to charge me.
Oh, I'm glad he'd pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today.
Okay, if there's no time limit for paying back, when do I have to pay something back?
As soon as possible.
What does that mean?
As soon as you have
that
money.
Is the right thing. As soon as possible.
Okay, it's not possible for 4 years in my book.
That's unacceptable.
Okay, well, that's when it's possible. Sorry. I mean, I don't know what it means going inside the courtroom.
How does it work with you? Because you're supposed to pay. It was a short-term loan. You didn't. Mm-hmm. And then she's just out, and that's that, because it's been a lot more than November 13th.
I never put her out there because I kept telling her that whatever you want to charge me extra.
The plaintiff is an older woman, and she was really flirty with me when she gave me the money. Your answer to the complaint. She contacted me again through text, asking me about the money. I told her I was trying to get it all together. She thanked me and said, take care of it whenever you can take care of it. To you, what does that mean?
Basically, that you don't string somebody out for years and years, but if somebody says take care of it whenever you can take care of it, once you get the money, you take care of it.
Now, to me, there's no timeline on that. If I can't take care of it until 5 years from now, then that should be fine. That's precisely what you said in the answer to that complaint, what you just said. But after that, I got a notice in the mail saying she was suing me. She's an older woman and was really flirty with me. Maybe she was trying to come on. That's your defense to the $500?
That's not my defense, but that's what happened at the time. And then when she made a statement saying, I'm not one of your hotties or your homegirls. I don't have hotties and homegirls. I'm not a gigolo. So for her to put that out there like that, like, oh, women just give you money? No, women don't just give me money.
The reason why I made that statement, he told me to calm down. This is not that serious. I have
no.
My
it's not
text.
Serious to him. He doesn't care.
No.
He can get $500 from. He just gets
serious.
More $500 from you. He could get $500 from somebody else. He can get $500 from anybody he can get it from, and then he can promise to pay you $5 million. It's not going to matter because he's not going to pay you.
Right.
You know, that's where we are. But you have
have text.
I don't even need to see it. I'm disgusted already. But now let me tell you what the law of the land where you are from is, in the happy town of Ohio. Okay. Every state has different laws. When you loan somebody $500 and they're supposed to pay you back $800, that's like almost 50% in interest.
Yes.
That's what we call usury. And it's illegal. It's loan sharking. Okay. Like, people can't loan $100 and then get expected to be paid back $500 and then think it's legitimate. It's illegal. And now every state has different laws about how they deal with the usury. Some states say, well, we knocked down the interest to what it should have been, the maximum you could have charged, which is 25%. Some states say, we're going to make him pay back the loan, but he doesn't have to pay any interest. And then some states that I don't agree with, and Ohio is one of them, says, we so don't want you to loan shark that he doesn't have to pay back a penny, and it's criminal. Who knew, huh?
No.
I know. My hands are tied. If you're going to be loaning money to people because you feel bad for them, because you think it's a good idea, because whatever, you cannot charge more than the statutory interest cap. In your state, it's 25%.
Okay.
I think he's horrible. My hands are tied, though, and I can't order a judgment in your favor because of this. Verdict for the defendant.
Okay.
Sickening as that may be.
Wow, kind of a surprise ending there for you, as you learn the law in Ohio really is not on your side.
Exactly.
So what's going through your mind here that you realize you've forfeited the entire loan?
I'm very upset about it, for the simple fact that they paying a person is get away with just doing dirt to other people that's trying to help them.
Why did you go out of your way to help this man?
I done it because of a friend of mine. and it was her nephew, and she was concerned of getting his tires and everything taken care of. So out of her friendship.
Wow, you really put yourself out there for him.
Yes.
No other reason you did it for him?
No other reason. I had no idea. He was talking about I was trying to flirt with him when he liked his aunt. I don't like him. He's not even my type.
Okay, right this way. Wow, so step on in here. How you feel?
I feel good. She,
Feel good about knowing you don't have to pay her back anything?
No, I feel good about the fact that when you lend somebody something and they want to loan shark you, I never had a problem of repaying her. But when she tried to stick it to me, it's like the judge said, of being a loan shark, then that's when I had a problem with it. And I still say, yeah, there was more involved. If I was more friendly, I doubt we would be standing right here right now.
All right. What do you think, Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, what I think is this was a really rough case because in some states, if you charge more than the maximum interest, you can get the principal back, just no interest at all.